It is Wednesday, which means it is time to...
Hey, let's do get help.
What?
Get help?
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing get help.
Oh, no, we are doing get help.
We are.
I am Goo, joined, as always, every Wednesday by Wesley Sykes. What a glorious episode this week.
Oh, my God. What about 55 minutes of pure edge of your seat awesomeness. Mm-hmm. I am forever excited about this. Yeah, I think if we're on a loop here, if time is a flat circle, like our boy Matthew McConaughey truly says, you know, I'm just going to be enjoying this episode on a loop forever here.
And I think that we fairly called last week's episode of just being a recap and a reintroduction, because these shows, much like they said, hey, this is the highest rated premiere of any of these shows, they need to reintroduce these characters. So I understand why they did the episode, but this one is far superior.
Right. And like we said, that first episode isn't really for you or I, or maybe listeners of this show or diehard MCU fans, but I think this was the first episode for us, so to speak. You know, that was just kind of like a previously on, and now we're kind of getting into the story kind of full steam ahead.
So before we get into the story, before we get into the timeline of the episode, by the way, spoilers!
I
forgot to put it in the title again, but since I just didn't do it two straight weeks, I guess we're never going to do it again.
Nope,
because, you
never.
Know, it's my purpose. So, the thing that this episode made me realize, and the reason why I love the Loki character and how Hiddleston plays him, is when he was shushed in the library, it made me realize he is Dennis Reynolds. The character, the overconfidence, the way that he speaks, the
arrogance.
Yeah. It is Dennis Reynolds. And I'm not sure, obviously the Thor movies came out after It's Always Sunny. I don't think they planned around the comic books on It's Always Sunny.
Right.
So just the way, like the parallels between those two characters is amazing. He is Dennis Reynolds. And you could picture him, picture any scene from this show now with Dennis Reynolds saying the lines that Loki is saying.
I'm a god.
Yeah.
I'm a golden god. You know, I mean, even the lines that Dennis Reynolds says, you can picture Loki saying, and It's Always Sunny and vice versa, right?
The lesser lines that Loki says underneath his breath of like, well, I'm the better god, or I'm the better Loki. That's something that Dennis would do.
Yeah, or always just talking down to people and thinking that he's the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
Again, I love that. I wonder if Kevin Feige knew about this at all, or was if It's Always Sunny was on his radar, and if Glenn Howerton, maybe this is a casting what if, auditioned for the role.
Well, he was what? He was the runner-up for Star-Lord, right?
Oh, I think, was he? That's interesting.
Yes. He almost played Star-Lord, which would have made it the same, but also very different.
Not as much of a beefcake. He could get it done. He's got the dry wit. I like that.
Well, also, you know, when you go to the MCU, when you hop in these movies, you get a little dietary help, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, HGH. All you need to look at is Chris Hemsworth's bicep, right?
This bicep is tricep. Everything is bigger than my body. And once again, before we get to the nuts and bolts, just with this episode in general, this is one of the best episodes of the MCU television that we've gotten so far. It is up there with WandaVision episodes 4, 5, 6, and 8, which, by the way, that really makes you think back to how good a lot of WandaVision was, where there was 3 to 4 episodes that was just like, holy shit, what's going on here? And then I would say that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 4 would also be up there. So this is in a six-pack of best episodes, and you could argue it maybe as being one of the best.
I think at the moment, you know, I would definitely like to hold my breath a little bit to see what else plays out, because I think Tom Hiddleston has even said in interviews 3 and 4 is the one that he's most excited for. And if we're this excited about 2, you know, what's in store for that? I was blown away by this episode. I think, you know, top 3 episode of television, the Disney Plus MCU series. Again, a little bit surprised here. IMDb goes 9.3, 9.1 on episode 1 and 2, respectively. I kind of went opposite. I think I had an 82 on the first episode, and I'm all the way up 95. This might be my highest rated episode to date, just because of everything in there. I love the two-man play of Mobius and Loki, just with a backdrop. It's almost, again, like a live-action play. I think that conversation and back and forth is second to none. Then you add in this whole kind of whodunit, crime-solving nature of the show, which is what WandaVision kind of touched on. It's this whole other layer is kind of beginning to take off, and I think it has the makings of an all-time show, whether it's like Mindhunter or any other
CSI Loki.
Whodunit. Right, exactly, exactly.
Even him walking around with like the jacket on, I was waiting for him to like pop a pair of sunglasses on and then...
Yeah, I would, you know, who knows? I still may hold out some hope for that. But, you know, do you have a score for this? You know, a hot dog score for you?
I mean, big issue here, obviously, is it is recency bias. And even when I say it's a top six, it could be one of the best. Like, it had me on the edge of my seat and, like, listening to every possible mm-hmm. line. Like, every little line mattered, whether it was, you know, creating a new variant or him picking up on... If there is a world-ending apocalypse happening, you can then hop in there and do whatever you want. Like, all that stuff, right. Everything was, like, led up to perfectly where it was a lot like episode 4 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where you were hanging on every possible word of that episode. So, mm-hmm. 9.5 makes sense to me. I wouldn't go 40. It wasn't perfect. Close to it, though. So, maybe, like, 38, 39.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And let's, without further ado, right, yeah. Let's just hop right into it here. The show opens with the Minutemen visiting Oshkosh Bagosh, Wisconsin,
yeah.
At a Renaissance fair to catch what we found out, spoiler alert, yeah. Is Lady Loki. But it's a trap, you know, Admiral Akbar style.
Yeah.
And she kills them and captures Hunter C-20, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So two things here. It's Wisconsin 1985 is what I read.
Yes.
So that's mm-hmm. a Back to the Future reference, so well done.
Mm,
and then people yep. are claiming that that Renaissance worker is Agatha Harkness, which I don't want to believe. I think that's...
You know, I could see the resemblance.
The resemblance was there, but the way that she acted was not.
No, yeah, and it definitely... I didn't know that that was the public perception of that, but that definitely did catch my eye when I first saw it. I did a second guess. Was like, wait, is that Agatha?
It if it was Catherine, like Hahn, Catherine Hahn, sure.
But it's not.
But also, yeah. She's a witch who looked like that in the 1600s, why right. would she suddenly look younger in the 80s to then look like she did in the 1600s again? It's not Agatha Harkness.
Well, I mean, the magic, the power of magic, the power of makeup. You know,
to make me look slightly younger, please.
Yes. Then we have Loki, who's going through his TVA training.
Yes.
And again, this is great exposition, kind of sets up information for the audience about time travel with him kind of watching these educational yes. videos and what he's learned and everything. So, again, I think that just plays into the importance of the multiverse and time travel and,
yep.
and how much Marvel is taking steps to make sure that we are following along everything.
And then three things here. First off, we did not say this last week, but big ups to Tara Strong, who is the voice of Miss mm-hmm. Marvel. Or, I'm sorry, Miss Minutes, who obviously she's My Little Ponies. She's the voice of Harley Quinn, Tommy Pickles. So you've heard her thousands of places, one of the most famous voice actors of all time. We also, you know, a little more important to the show, a red line means a new timeline is created, and that's it. That mm-hmm. is the timeline. That is the sacred timeline, which, I mean, it's Loki training on this stuff, but it's also Loki learning how to create new timelines. So they think right. that they're helping out their own cause, but they're also giving him vital information.
Yes, vital information. Who is that? Who, Amy... From all that, vital information.
Laurie Beth Dimberg.
Laurie Beth Dimberg. I was going to say Amy Jo Johnson, another three name.
Of course, she's
there.
The Pink Power Ranger from the cape.
Yes. Yes, Dennis. Very, very nice there. Playboy model, too.
Really? I didn't know that.
I believe she posed on that, yeah.
Allegedly?
Know that. Yeah.
Allegedly.
No. I have sticky page confirmation of this. But we're derailing. We're creating
a new timeline right now. Can you get back yeah. to the sacred timeline?
So that's a great point about the redlining thing and kind of explaining that, because that obviously comes into play a little bit later if you can kind of visualize that timeline on that 70s TV computer screen here. Mm-hmm. Then, okay, so we have the TVA investigating the kidnapping, and Loki tries to stall and kind of trick the TVA back at this 1985 Renaissance yep. fair.
So also before that, we get the holograms of Loki with all of the Easter eggs of the different Lokis
yes.
that were there. So those are really cool. But then also he explains duplication casting versus illusion projection, which you then get a little tease towards the end.
Right, exactly. And again, that's just another factor of why Mobius brought Loki on here, is because who knows Loki better than Loki, right? So I think he knows these little differences.
Not to just praise Hiddleston around every corner here, but a lesser actor... These are just nonsense pieces here.
Right.
With him, you're like, oh, illusion projection, right. Cool, I'm in.
Yeah, and it seems like a little difference there that he's like, you know, a little yeah. variant.
It's the slightest difference. difference. Yeah.
but he's like, you know, of course, arrogant enough to be like, no, there is a difference there.
Yeah.
But again, so he's trying to stall and trying to meet the timekeepers and overthrow them. That's kind of his motivation mm-hmm. here, his ulterior motive that we were wondering in episode one. Mobius kind of dangles that meeting with the timekeeper as Loki's carrot. I think that's a lie. I don't know where you stand on that. But that
most likely.
Like just yeah. as something to kind of keep him motivated.
Well, yeah, but because why would they ever, if the timekeepers are the most sacred of the people, especially at the TVA, why would you ever let Loki meet them?
Right, and why would anybody meet them at that point? Because yeah. I'm not even sure if Ravonna Renslayer meets them. Because
she kind of teases towards it. Yeah, and she's like, oh, I've talked with them. Have you? Yeah. Because Mobius hasn't.
Right, and again, I think this is setting up to jump a little bit ahead in the episode when you have one of those one-on-one conversations with Mobius and Loki at the lunch hall or whatever. You can kind of start to see that maybe Mobius is much like Mordo, where he's mm-hmm. just a blind follower of the Ancient One or yeah. the Timekeepers in this instance, and then finds out that it's not all that it seems. Maybe he feels a little hurt, jaded, and then kind of teams up with Loki. Maybe that's an aspect we see fold out.
And then also, not to jump too far ahead here, because we do have our award-winning segment, 21 Questions.
I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about us.
Where is the jet ski going? Where is the jet ski conversation going?
Tiger King? No.
Like, does he die at the end of the show and he dies by riding a jet ski and he rides off into the sunset?
I think so. I think you would just get that guy like rolling in and it's just kind of him.
Which also reminds me of season one of Eastbound and Down, where every episode ended mm-hmm. with Kenny Powers kicking a woman off a jet ski.
Yes. Yeah. And he's right. I mean, a jet ski is a great time. I'm not sure how many times you know, maybe have been behind and felt the throttle, the heat of the engine between your loins, Goo, but it's exhilarating.
It's also so funny of like, have you ever ridden a jet ski? No, but I hope to one day.
Yes. Not the loftiest of goals for people in the TVA. That's no. His retirement plan.
I want one jet ski, maybe two. I don't know yet.
Well, he doesn't have any friends, so I mean, maybe Loki. I don't know how that works.
Loki's his friend now.
Yes.
So now he needs two jet skis.
Right, absolutely. So then we have Mobius kind of meeting with Ravonna in the inner office to kind of take his tongue lashings after kind of botching that mission there in the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
And we get some very interesting things here. There's a kind of like a flirty back and forth going on that maybe alludes to some sort of romance in the past. I don't know. She's obviously skeptical of Loki. Mobius believes in Loki for some reasons that we're not exactly sure at that moment. But this right here is the big takeaway. And if you're watching the live stream, I'm pointing to the pen mm-hmm. and the pen that she hands Mobius to sign the whatever accords or whatever. And it's Franklin Delano Roosevelt High School.
Yeah.
And what is that? Because then he makes the illusion like, I didn't give this to you. Mm-hmm. Who is this other agent that Ravonna is in contact
yes,
with?
Yes, and he makes the point of saying the analyst that you keep on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Kang?
That's what I'm thinking. Is this setting up Kang here? And again, that whole aspect of kind of playing on that love affair, flirty back and forth, the analyst on the side chick or whatever. And we know, right, from the comics that Kang and Ravonna are somewhat of a love interest throughout, you know, in some capacity. So yeah, I think that's where that storyline is kind of alluding to.
Then we get to the third or fourth conversation between Loki and Mobius, and he makes the point of saying that he knew that would motivate Loki is like the thought of catching the better version of himself.
Yes. Yeah, and proving that he is the better one, not that yes. what everyone assumes to be Lady Loki to be the more powerful and superior
Loki.
Oh,
by the way, spoilers, Lady Loki.
Yeah, I mean, we said this right off the top yeah, here. So, yeah. And plus, we said that in episode one that we thought that it was Lady Loki anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, we got the Easter eggs in the trailer. The trailer kind of gave it away.
Right.
Everyone thought that maybe Loki would be talking to Black Widow because of the haircut in the shadows. And no, that is Lady Loki. And right. In this conversation with Loki and Mobius, he makes the point of saying, you scared little boy several times over and over mm-hmm. and over again. Goostradamus, did he call it?
Yeah, so I mean, I think they killed one of the variants there. I think that's what they were saying, right? With the Bluetooth boy there and the kablooey gum or the kablooey candy there, which again is great because they figure out that you have the Ragnarok situation. We're kind of figuring out the destruction and all that, and then they were able to tie that together with the kablooey gum, and that's how they figure out that this variant Loki, this lady Loki is hiding out in different apocalypses, which we're going to end time anyway, yes. So it doesn't pop up on the Timekeeper's radars.
If it's a Nexus event, then that's it. Anything that happens during that time, any variant that shows up can't be detected.
Right.
And that's the whole point, I believe, of the rest of this show now. He's going to go to apocalyptic events and just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and it's fantastic, right? Because we get Pompeii there. Again, I've been there. I know you recently traveled to Italy. I'm not sure if that was in one of your spots there, but an amazing sight. So it was kind of cool to see that come to life. And then again, the uptightness of Mobius, contrasting with the mischievousness of Loki there is a great display. Yeah, the world's about to end, and Mobius is like, we can't disrupt anything.
You know?
It's like, it's chaos. Nothing matters anyway. And then Loki's just letting everything go, throwing food up in the air.
And then the best line of the episode, and this is one that I would have pulled the audio from, but I don't want to get dinged by the old social meds here. And that is, if you can't trust me, trust one thing. I love to be right. Dennis Reynolds once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and then I think Mobius has a great line of, why is it always the people who are liars who I can't trust who are telling me to say trust me, right?
Yes.
So I love that. And again, the verbal sparring, the verbal jousting between these two is second to none.
Wow.
Okay, so they're able to pinpoint Lady Loki's hideout with that kablooey gum. And they figure because it was sold between 2047 and 2051. And they coincide that with the organic apocalypses at that time. So they end up in 2050, Alabama, with a massive hurricane that's going to, destroy everyone there at a rocks cart, Goo?
Yes, rocks cart.
Yeah, so the Minutemen split up there, right? And we have Lady Loki and Hunter B-20, B-15.
Yes.
They kind of split up and they find Loki and Hunter B-15 run into Lady Loki.
And just a quick heads up here. So his magic does not work at the TVA, but now that they're jumping around to different variants, magic works again. He dries himself off. Great use of the magic. And then we see that variant Loki just jumps from body to body. It was a lot like the movie The Thing.
Yes, exactly. And you kind of see, right, the note behind that is the flash of the green eyes or like a little bit of a green mist around the touching of the body parts.
I've always hated with the Marvel movies and like the MCU, like when Quicksilver runs fast, there's like a blue streak behind him.
Yeah.
We don't need that. When Lady Loki passes her, consciousness onto someone else, the little green, we don't need that. We get it.
Yeah, no, it's a nice little digital touch there, just to hammer the point home. But of course, I think we talked about Roxcart in our preview episode of the Loki series.
Yeah.
And this is, again, a variant of Roxxon Energy Corporation, pretty much, run by powerful people who are looking to turn profit in any way imaginable, willing to get their hands dirty to do so. So basically any business.
And then Loki gives his glorious purpose, what he believes to be what he is supposed to do here, where he wants to overthrow the Time Lords and then use the variant Lokis that he is now hunting to help him do that.
Right.
Which I think is great. I love that idea because just hunting the Time or just trying to overthrow the Time Lords, like you kind of saw him maybe trying to do that, but him trying to gather up the other Lokis to help him, awesome.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm wondering how that's going to play out. Again, you referenced the other Lokis there. We had the Lance Armstrong Loki. We had the Hulk Loki. We had a Frost Giant Loki. Mm-hmm. We looked like we had something that was more from the comic book eras with like the fur shag coat there with the long horns. So those were, I wonder if those actually come to life or those were ones they were already executed. I can't recall now.
Oh, hey, Wes.
Yo, you saw that Easter egg?
I did see that Easter egg, Mr. Mackey. And that is that Lady Loki had a broken horn on her crown.
Oh, what does that mean? I like that.
It's a reference to one of the comics, but also how does this happen? Do they go into this? And maybe is there some kind of a battle that we see?
Right. Yes. And of course, we see a little bit of a battle there. And the Lady Loki is far superior, always seems one, two, three steps ahead, much like Loki tells Mobius that he's 10 steps ahead of him.
Well, has she already been there time travel wise and she can travel to those apocalyptic events? has she already been there 10 times and she knows the outcome every single time?
Right, exactly. So she, with the her ability to kind of capture these useless Minutemen who might be the worst government, arm, navy, whatever you want to call them, army, military group,
yeah,
in the history. I mean, what do they do? This Hunter B-15 is like the dumbest person I've ever met.
And they're really quick at sex.
What do you mean?
They're
at sex?
Minutemen.
Oh, I see. Oh,
how dare you? It's a reference to that rap song.
1 minute, man.
Yes, 1 minute.
Yes. I was just thinking of the militia that freed us from tyranny of our British rulers back in the 1700s or so.
It's what makes us different that makes us great.
Yes, that's right. But so at the very end of the episode, right, they find Hunter C-20, who was captured earlier in the episode, and she's saying it's real, it's real, it's all real. She's kind of like crazy and her brain's all scattered. She also reveals that she gave away the location or some information about who the timekeepers are. Mm-hmm. And then we see Mobius and the whole rest of the group kind of rushing towards Loki as they can't get into contact with Hunter B-15 there. Then we see Loki fall into the time door there, went to follow Lady Loki, much to the dismay of Mobius.
Well, follow Lady Loki, maybe get away and do his own thing. We'll see what that is. And also the entire time, I thought that she was just trying to bomb that building to get rid of the TVA, when right. In fact, she is resetting numerous timelines and then sending those through the TVA doors to those timelines. And then we get the Easter egg of all of the different timelines and the places that she sends him to. And you have Vomir. So does that have any tie to Black Widow dying or maybe Gamora dying? Obviously, they both died there. To Asgard, is she trying to reset Asgard to now maybe Surtur never went there and Ragnarok never happened? Sakaar, where maybe she's trying to kill the Grand Master. Who knows? Because Loki didn't care for him in Ragnarok. And then also Ego. Is she going to bring back Ego?
Yeah, see, I missed all of that, Goo, and I'm so happy that you brought that up. I didn't see that at all. So I think this is very interesting, this news that I'm getting live on air here. So I'm very curious to see what happens with all of that. I think that's an amazing pull.
Because they've already said that this show actually does have ramifications on the MCU. So even if it's just on one of those places, even if they just find a way to use this to bring back Gamora, that's at least something, even though we do have 2014 Gamora. But maybe this is to maybe not bring back Black Widow, but bring back a variant of Black Widow.
Yeah, or some form. And again, I wonder, I said this on the Change My Mind podcast about, what this leads to as far as secret wars, right? In the first episode, they talk about a mass war for the Battle of the Sacred Timeline, supremacy or whatever, right? So what if you have all of these timelines that mix mosh with the multiverse of madness that creates all these alternative versions of your Iron Mans, your Black Panthers, whatever?
Well, not only that, they've already talked about if you do this, if you create different variants, and obviously now we know this, if it turns red, that's it. Is this what leads into Doctor Strange? Is this why he now needs to step in?
Yeah, and Spider-Man Far From Home, right? Because I think that's coming in before Doctor Strange here. So how do all these things kind of roll into each other? I think that's a great speculative question moving forward.
Because I think one of those timeline drops, one of the reset drops, might have been in New York. So people might be saying, well, that has to do with the Avengers, and maybe that kills off some of the Avengers or something, but maybe it's Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man, Spider-Man's.
We definitely need to know more about what Lady Loki knows, right? And a little bit more of her backstory before we find out. But because I think we look at that Ragnarok event as a big catalyst, right? Yeah. So I think that was something that sparked the idea for Loki, but this could also be sparking the idea for Lady Loki to maybe go back and resetting the timeline, or maybe these timekeepers aren't as benevolent as we are supposedly think they are. So maybe she's trying to correct and eliminate the sacred timeline to just bring things back to what she believes is restorative order, kind of like Thanos.
So I like that you just asked a question, because that leads us into our award-winning segment now that the timeline is over.
I like 21 questions, and they all about us.
What is the deal with Lady Loki? And are we going to get more variant Lokis? Or does this one season focus on the one variant Loki and then we get more variant Lokis as we go along?
Yeah, so that's interesting. I think, you know, with the first two, based off the first two shows, they've been more self-contained than we expected. So I think having maybe introducing one other Loki or something like that. But I think keeping this as close circuit as possible, because if you look through the cast, there's really only five or six main characters that are worth, you know, discussing. And that seems to be a reoccurring theme, maybe less so with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but certainly with WandaVision. You know, there was definitely a small, close set of people there. So I wonder if that's kind of following in a similar shake there. But, you know, season two, this seems to be already confirmed for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go and visit other variant Lokis in other universes.
Yes. And also in the trailer, we did see little clips of different stuff that Loki will be doing during the season. So at one point, he is the king of Asgard. So does that time drop, does that time reset have him now as the king of Asgard? Loki, not him as his father. Also, there was one...
President Loki, right?
President, with him running with like a cast of characters behind him and everyone puts the swords up to him. So when does that come into play?
Yeah, and I want to know, with speaking of all these Loki variants, do we get a Matt Damon cameo in here somehow? Yeah.
I think I mentioned that on News Dump, and then you mentioned that, which is something that we should have mentioned during the show last week.
Yes.
But we're here now. Are we going to get Matt Damon as Loki? Because that would be great. That would be a great nod to him playing Loki in the play in Ragnarok, and hopefully something like that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was something else I was just thinking. Oh, we forgot to mention this last week, is that we got nude Loki in episode one.
Partially nude.
Which just made me think back to every time they have an actor, specifically a male actor, in their first movie, in their first, like, you know, it's their show, it's their movie, they gotta be topless.
Now, I think we recently reviewed Benedict Cumberbatch there and Doctor Strange. I don't think he went shirtless. He's a little too scrawny, I think.
Maybe. Well, they never had Tony Stark do it either, because they showed him a little bit in the first Iron Man, where he's thin, you know, nothing wrong there.
Well, wait, and he's shirtless, but he's getting the thing, like when Pepper's changing out the arc reactor.
In Endgame, he is sickly thin.
Right.
Yeah, they gave us one of those, and I wish I pulled the cut from Cam Newton yesterday, saying, "Summer, sun's out, abs out." Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hey, ain't that the truth, right? Yeah. Don't we all have that? given that the timekeepers, I don't know, control all of time forwards and backwards, how do they not find out about Loki's apocalypse time branch theory?
That's a great point.
Theory, ooh, they know this is that episode already happened to them. So they like already found, you know what I mean? Like if they can see forward in time, why do they need Loki to find Lady Loki where it's already happened? Again, I don't want to confuse myself here. I can twist myself into pretzel with time travel, but these are like kind of the what the MCU sets itself up for by diving headfirst into this.
May I step in here?
Mm.
This is all a part of an apocalyptic event. So him as a variant, it's tough to find him. It's tough to find her.
Oh, so okay. Maybe. So this is, I like this. That's interesting. See, that's like something very meta that I'm not sure, but a lot above the air Fugazi shit going on here. I'm not sure if I can follow that. What is Lady Loki's motivation? What does she want to do with the Timekeepers? And does it have to do with Ragnarok and destruction of Asgard?
I think it's just about ruling. That's just all Lokis want to do, is that they just want to rule.
Is the show predicting future apocalyptic events when Mobius makes the mention of the climate crisis in 2047, the floods, the eruptions,
just like Back to the Future 2 and the Cubs winning the World Series?
Yeah, so I think this is some sort of predictive programming. I am a big believer in a lot of Marvel conspiracy theories, I should say. So I think this is some predictive program.
Theorists too, yeah.
But I think this is some predictive program handed down by the U.S. government to tell us and warn us and give us a soft opening of this climate crisis that will probably be taking over news over COVID very shortly.
Yeah, we'll see.
Are the timekeepers what we're told they are? Is this another rug pull moment coming a la Wizard of Oz, where we think they're all powerful and mighty, but they're really just maybe three lizards in a suit?
Well, they actually mentioned that they are space lizards. Remember that? Loki said that last week.
Well, he says it as a joke. We don't really know.
Yeah, but sometimes when you say things as a joke, they end up becoming true. My curiosity, and you just mentioned wizards, is do say the wizards Like, do they believe in the timekeepers? Or do they believe that they are the ones that protect the realm?
Oh, that's a great question. Because that's what Doctor Strange's whole job is, right?
We got the Watchers at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Are they in charge? Are we just being sent into a different place of who's in charge of what? Because we're also getting the Eternals. Aren't they the ones that correct the mistakes?
Yes. Okay. So what are the difference between the Timekeepers, the Watchers, the Masters of the Mystic Arts, and the Eternals?
Who is in charge?
I think that's a great question. I think each one is just going to be passing the buck along to the other. So they're all really in control.
Until they want the credit.
Maybe
they say
the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the Illuminati that we've been seeing here.
That's all it is. All right. So this will do it for this week's episode of Get Help, a Loki podcast. And once again, I loved this episode. I love where the show is going. We got four more to go. And I think lengthwise, the 47 minutes, I want to say, of programming?
Roughly, yeah.
Perfect length.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited because Tom Hiddleston even said that the next two episodes are the ones that are going to blow your mind. But what concerns me is it seems like on every show, they hit their peak in the middle and then fall off by the end. So I'm hoping that they do stick the landing here.
Let's hope we stick the landing. Hopefully we can get a little DB Cooper, stick the landing, fly off with the cash, and just get away scot-free.
So, guys, that'll do it for this week.
Wednesdays are the new Fridays.
Get Help, a Loki podcast.
Hey, let's do Get Help.
What?
Get Help?
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing Get Help.